Krásné dobré ráno, odpoledne nebo večer. Já jsem Tereza Salte, jsem autorkou blogu Tereza in Oslo, knihy Šlehačková oblaka a jsem máma, která žongluje biznis a mateřství. A dost často mi to všechno padá na hlavu. Chtěla bych se naučit žít pomaleji a taky jednou postavit srub v Norsku. Tímto podcastem bych vám chtěla dopřát pár minut úplného klidu. Toho, kdy nic nemusíte a užíváte si ten váš čas. Tak vítejte v oblacích. Vítejte u 60. dílu podcastu V oblacích. Já jsem tady svýmu hostovi pouštěla moje intro a jediný, co na to řekl Jony, to už teda můžu prozradit, protože vždycky tady v tom sudým podcastu, nebo respektive výročním podcastu, mám Jonyho jako hosta. Tak jediný, co na to Jony řekl, tak to bylo to, že bych měla asi udělat nový intro. Tak úplně nevím, co si o tom má myslet. Teď na mě tady kouká a nic neříká, protože zatím nic říkat nemůže. Nicméně mám velkou radost, že zase posloucháte. My jsme si udělali s Jonem takový malý rande, řekla bych, protože Willy je poprvý po 6 týdnech na hlídání u mojí ségry. A my jsme si vyzvedli tajský jídlo, vyzvedli jsme si kafe z kavárny, co hledá jméno, a snědli jsme to všechno jsme to vypili, pak Jony odpadl na gauč a tím začal tady naše nahrávání. Ale ještě předtím, než si ho sem teda pozvu, respektive než mu povolím, aby mohl něco říct, tak si pojďme pustit něco, co jsem pro vás připravila. Tada! Je mi ctí vám představit partnera dnešní epizody, kterým je Oslo Skin Lab. Všichni ti, kteří mě sledujete už nějaký ten pátek, tak víte, že mám slabost pro všechno skandinávský. A když mě před rokem oslovila ke spolupráci značka, se kterou sdílíme Oslo v názvu, byla jsem potěšená a taky notně zvědavá. The Solution od Oslo Skin Lab je neochucený kolagenový prášek, který můžete smíchat s vodou, dát si ho do smutí nebo třeba do jogurtu. Já mám už svůj ranní rutinu s Oslo Skin Lab téměř přes rok a nikdy jsem nedostala tolik komplimentů na moje vlasy. Ty jsem měla po porodu a kojení velmi vyčerpaný a velmi zničený. Věřím v péči o pleť zevnitř a ke zdravému životnímu stylu tady přidávám i kolagen. A je pravda, že mě nesmírně baví sledovat, jak i přesto, že je mi přes 30, tak mám čím dál tím větší tendence nenosit téměř žádný make-up. Skvělé je na tom taky to, že vám kolagen chodí pravidelně do schránky, vždycky jednou za měsíc. Nemusíte tady myslet vůbec na nic. A protože jsou to Norové, tak se s členstvím nepojí žádné závazky. Můžete ho kdykoliv zrušit. Tak se budu těšit na tu vaší radost. A nikomu neříkejte, že Oslo Skin Lab sypu téměř každý ráno do vody i Jonymu. So, welcome Jony, welcome to our third podcast.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Great.
You're good. I just said that we were lying on the sofa because we ate too much of the food.
I'm still full actually.
You're still full?
Yeah.
Jony was yawning right before we started, and I said, you're very, very ready to start our podcast. And you said?
I said that that's just a technique how to get into the right tension level.
That's what you did when you did gymnastics, or?
Yes. Always was yawning before competing too.
Yeah. So I shouldn't take it personally that this is the most boring thing you're doing.
Not at all.
You look very pumped. Yeah, I can see that. No, but what do you think about my sound clip?
Hard to say. I don't understand what you're saying, but the voice sounds great.
Okay, that's at least something. Mm-hmm. At least something. Did you understand the end of it?
Something with me that I could hear. I think that something with you trying to trick me into taking
trick
it.
Trick you? I don't. I would never trick you, Jony. That's for sure. But yes, I didn't say anything about you, though.
No. Then I heard him wrong.
No, okay. I have to admit that I said it. And I said that I'm putting Oslo Skin Lab to your water every morning, too. So that's why you have so shiny skin and so beautiful hair and everything.
Now we know. I thought I was just born that way.
Yeah, you are definitely born that way, of course. But yeah, how do you feel? Like, how is your stage of life right now, and maybe how did things change from the last time you were here, because it feels like eternity.
Yeah, it does actually, and I would say things changed a lot, but more just like the last month, of course, not like before that.
And what concretely changed in your life, though?
In my life, there came this virus to Czech Republic, or to the world, actually. So it changed, of course, that we are working from home. Kind of things are very different. Also, our lifestyle kind of changed overnight, I would say.
Yeah, and like to be more concrete, or something that was, I don't know.
No, William is home in kindergarten, so, and we are working from home. So, of course, it's quite different from kind of putting him in kindergarten and go to work, meet the other people and work from here, to that we are both at home trying to work harder than ever while he is kind of around us. And we have to also, of course, take care of him and make sure he is happy and have a nice day. And it's kind of a hard thing to juggle around.
Hmm. Do you think he feels any difference, like him? Do you think that he can kind of feel that there is something going on or something strange? Or do you think he's too small to get it?
No, I think it seemed like he kind of get it quite well. I'm quite surprised and impressed how he kind of, he have understood that he cannot visit grandparents in Norway because the airport is closed, and he wants to go to the play park, but he knows that he can't because it's closed, and he's even the one saying like, no, it's closed, I can't go there.
Yeah, he also say very often that now he thinks it's open.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
In the middle of the day he comes, it's like, mommy, now I think Läke Park is open. Now it's combined the languages, of course. So Läke Park, did I say it correct?
Yeah, he say Läkeland.
Läkeland, uh-huh. Yeah, that means the play park, this indoor play park that he totally love. So yes, sometimes it feels, or it seems to me that he's like, yeah, but now I can feel things are moving or something. But definitely.
And I think he's quite happy actually with being home with us. That I think he has nice days. So I don't think he kind of feel it as a big negative thing. But now I'm asking him if he wants to go back to kindergarten, and he's saying like, no, he doesn't want to. He wants to be home with mama and papa.
Hmm. It was also today when I delivered him to my sister that he didn't like it. He was crying when kind of I was leaving. And I guess for him it has to be also hard because he is used to be with us 24/7. And it's the first time after 6 weeks that he is actually without us. So I guess it's going to be, I hope it's not going to be the same way when we put him to kindergarten first time. But maybe the starting point will be a little bit harder. But I also think that he remembers, he talks about them and about kids and about the teachers quite a lot. And I guess that maybe it could be this like, aha, that's what I was missing.
Yeah, I think the first 5 minutes is going to be hard, and then he's going to be back again. Happy.
Hopefully. But yeah, it seems like it's a long time since we were sitting here the last time and talking, and you getting questions from all the readers and followers on Instagram. And now it feels like that the world like turned around. And also now when I was picking up the coffee from our favorite coffee place, from Kavárna Co Hledáme, it hit me after a very long time, like, aha, it's so sad to see that place that is usually filled up with people, but it was totally empty. There was just one person, you know, in the open door serving coffee. And I just like looked around and I remember how we were there with William. And then after that, we went to the zoo and there was so many people and people were waiting in line. But in certain way, I also felt that I don't want to say that I kind of like it, but I kind of felt like, wow, it's also nice to breathe a little bit, that the world a little bit like slow down. What do you feel?
Yo, I'm this person who like when things go slow. I like to relax and enjoy life kind of. So for me, it's like this part of this whole situation is kind of nice. The whole situation is not nice, of course, but kind of this part that we kind of don't feel this stress or need to chase something all the time. That part I actually like.
And what do you feel that it's going to change? Like today we talked that actually you could go to Norway, but there is just no way how to get there because there is no planes and there is nobody who is traveling now. What do you feel that, how do you think, how do you see the development in the very close future?
I actually think that things are going to start to normalize. It's, of course, I'm no expert. I don't know kind of how it is, but I just have a feeling that they will go slowly into back to normal. But I, of course, I hope that actually the bad habits that are broken will kind of not come back again too.
What is bad habits?
I don't know, actually. Like, it's hard to say, like, specifically, but we talked earlier today about, for example, all these tourist stores or things that are, it's hard to say. I don't know. Sorry.
Maybe, like, yeah, because I said that maybe it would be nice to get Prague back for us, just when we can walk around in Old Town Square to not be kind of trapped in millions of tourists and, like, waiting for their trdelník and... I don't know, that it would be great to kind of go to these restaurants that are in the center where we never go because we kind of feel that it's not worth it and the prices are crazy and you don't even get the value for it. So that for me personally would feel, wow, that would be amazing to kind of get the center of Prague for us again.
Yeah, of course. I have this, like, people would ask me, like, what I would go back in time and change. I always say that I wouldn't change anything because I'm happy where I am now. And I'm afraid that wouldn't be the same if I go back and change anything, also the bad things and stuff. And maybe it's the same way with Prague, though. I love Prague, so maybe it's not smart to change anything. Maybe if you take away the things you think are bad, they will also get effects that are changing the reason why you love Prague.
Yeah, maybe. But wouldn't it feel amazing to walk on Charles Bridge but not have to be kind of chased by many people who are trying to sell you something or, you know, or be kind of in big groups of Japanese tourists or something? Like, I'm not saying forever, but I'm just saying maybe for sometimes to also, like, breathe and enjoy the city for ourselves.
Yes, of course. But if you would take away these things, they will also have different effects that we don't know yet what that is, but that could be worse than having them there.
Yeah, you mean like economically?
Economically, socially, any way.
Yeah, let's wait and see how things will go. But me personally, I'm enjoying and I really want to do this, that I want to go to Prague Castle or to Wenceslav Square to kind of feel it, to kind of... I think it's a situation that will hopefully not happen again. So maybe it's a once-a-lifetime possibility to kind of see those places without many people and to kind of feel it like, hey, the world a little bit stopped.
Of course, but important to remember that we, both us and everyone else, should try to stay home as much as possible.
And that would be bad if now I said it in podcast and now everyone is going to run there. So no, okay, we are also not going there.
No.
No, we did only one this car trip that we went, that was in the beginning, right? It was like...
It was quite in the start, yeah.
In the beginning of the kind of special... What is it called in English? Nozový stav. I'm not sure. But everyone knows what we are talking about. That it was like 2 days after that everyone was supposed to stay home and we needed to pick up something from my sister. So we drove through the Old Town Square and there was nobody. That was crazy. I have some pictures and I think that... We are going to show it to our kids and grandkids and hopefully, if Corona is not coming back every spring.
Yeah, that was a quite special situation to drive through and see everything empty.
And there was only this, like, driving some police cars and there was really nobody walking anywhere. It was nobody. I guess that now it will be a little bit different again. It's also much nicer weather and people are much more out and... They are wearing rouškas everywhere, so could be different. So maybe we can never experience it again.
Yeah.
But your kind of prognosis, or how do you see the world that is going to change in matter of traveling? Or where do you think, when do you think we can maybe go to Norway? Or I know it's just like, it's like nobody knows, but what do you think?
I can't say, really. As I said earlier today, I actually... can go to Norway now. You cannot, but I can. But as there is no planes, so I wouldn't get there anyway, even though I'm allowed to. I would just have to be in quarantine after. But
and I cannot go there.
You cannot, no, because you don't have a Norwegian passport.
But you and William could go.
Me and William could go, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, oh, that is also scary to think about. Because I guess that my fear would be if you and Willy would go, then I would be so afraid. What if something would happen? What if it would explode again and they would kind of close the borders and there would be no chance to get home? I think that would be my fear, not that you two would travel. And I don't know, it's just so strange to think about it. And even more stranger is to think about it that like 2 months ago, nobody would even thought about this situation. And suddenly that's the new normal. That's the new kind of, that's the new life.
I think it's impressive to see how fast we and it seems others have kind of adjusted to the situation and how normal it feel, the situation we are in now. I was just thinking about it the other day that it's like, if you just think back 1.5 months, what we did, what how I was thinking about things, how it's changed so drastically, so fast. And
But that's also the reason why humans are still here, because we can adjust to anything. And I think that also the people who are maybe, I don't know, successful in life, they are very adjustable because they can feel, hey, the situation is changing. I have to also change some way. What business I'm doing or the way where I'm putting money or investing money and stuff. I think it's very closely connected. So maybe that's on us, and who is just this, what is it called? Like this resilient?
Resilient, yeah, or we have resilience.
Yeah, then maybe those are the people who are kind of like hurt the most by the situation because they keep doing things how they are used to it. And they don't want to change, and that is not going to kind of help them. But what do you think that we have learned from the situation, both personally and business-wise?
I would say both business and personal. I think it kind of have given me a wake-up call when it comes to economy, how important it is kind of to have some buffer, to have reserves, that things can really change very fast without you kind of expecting it. And this situation is a great example on it. Like nobody saw this coming 1.5 months ago. And boom, it happened so fast. So this doesn't have to be the virus coming back or another virus, but anything else can also happen. So for me, at least, it's been becoming very important to kind of have a buffer, to have a healthy economy all the time.
In private and in business?
I would say both, yeah.
I would say that it's kind of equal.
Yeah.
And what does it mean, like, to have a buffer? How would you specify it? Because anyone can kind of see, like, yeah, for me it's enough to have 50,000 on my saving bank account, but, like, you don't have to be specific, but more, like, what do you mean under it?
It depends, of course, what expenses you have, but for me, for example, it's going to be, I'm going to want to have at least 3 to 6 months, kind of, that I would be able to survive without any income, that it shouldn't kind of be a problem.
Yeah, and at work or in the business?
A little bit the same. I want to kind of not live on paying everything we earn kind of out again and let it go in this circle. I would want to start building up, that it goes in plus all the time, that the bank accounts are growing bigger, that in bad times you can take from it and then build it up again later.
And do you personally have any like advice for people? If they're listening to the podcast and they're like, yeah, yeah, but how should I do that? Like, what would you say? How are we going to do that? I'm very curious too, though.
Yeah. Actually, in my bank in Norway, we had something that I think was great. It was called Fun Saving. And that was, for example, when you used your credit card or your card, then it took automatically 10% of that amount or the percentage you chose and transferred it to saving account. Automatically. So if you bought a bottle of water for 10 crowns, it took 1 crown and sent it to a saving account.
So the more you were spending, the more you were saving.
Basically, yeah. But that means that in the end, 10%, for example, of everything you use actually goes to saving account. But it's not you who have to go in and take a big amount and transfer it to saving account. But if you buy a bottle of water for 10 crowns or 11 crowns, it doesn't feel any difference. But with every purchase that's happening, it kind of starts building up the saving account. But we don't have that here, at least not in the bank I'm in. But I want to, for example, start make sure that we take some 10-15% of everything we're earning and transferring it to saving account. And keep that one quite building up this, as I said, the buffer, not that it's a using account, but a buffer. And when we have saved up where we are comfortable, then we can kind of start making more a saving account that is for travels or other things.
Mm. What do you think is our biggest weakness when it comes to saving or using money? What would you say?
When it comes to saving, I would say that we forget to transfer money into saving account or forget to actually do the saving. We are very good at thinking about it, but
that's with many things. We are very good at thinking about things.
Yeah, but not actually doing it.
Yeah, but don't we have this regular sending money over that we do?
We do, yeah. But it's hard to say. Like, I don't think we keep very good control that when that day of the month comes that they should be sent automatically, that we have enough money on that card that it would be sent. Or we are saving, but we don't have a control of our saving.
Hmm.
And when it comes to the usage, I would say we are quite good in not kind of using money on big amounts. But I think we are both dragging the cards too often on unnecessary small things. And if you actually add all these things together, it becomes big in the end.
What is my unnecessary small things and what is your unnecessary small things?
If we are talking very small, for me it's for example to buy a Red Bull here or a Coke here or these unhealthy extra things. For yours, I would say it's quite easy. That's your second coffee.
Second coffee?
Yeah, your
not the first one.
No, that's fine. But it's when you kind of, you're done, you're full, we are fine in a coffee place. Then you decide, I will just take one more coffee and one more piece of cake. Or
I don't take one more piece of cake. I take one more coffee. That is true. Sometimes. And the reason is, ladies and gentlemen, that I need to stay a little bit longer in the coffee place because before we run away and start our crazy life. So maybe I can just figure out something. Maybe I can ask for milk or, I don't know, something cheaper.
Drink your coffee slower.
Drink my coffee slower. That's true. Yeah, I personally think that we also have learned a lot from this corona crisis in a way that we learn how much we don't need to have a good life. That we can figure, like, for example, me, now I'm going to brag about it, but I understood that I can also bake my cakes at home, and it's not that difficult. Maybe I was lucky, but this first babovka I made, it was like one of the best babovkas I have ever made.
That's cocky.
Yeah, that is very cocky, but I also think that I was very lucky. But I was surprised because every time I bought all those cakes and all those things and all those coffees, I was like, I can never make it that good at home, so I have to go and buy it in all those fancy coffee places. But actually now in the crisis, I figure out, it is not that difficult to make it. And you use maybe, 80 crowns? And you have the whole piece of cake, like whole cake instead of one piece of cake. So that's, for me personally, like this eye-opening. Of course, the problem comes when you want to meet your friends or you want to have a nice time in a coffee place and stuff. Then, of course, then that's different. Mm. But maybe it changed my point of view on this. Let's just go and have some cake and coffee. On the other hand, it would be very nice to support all those small coffee places when everything opens up. So I guess that I will have a lot of, justifying that, like, we have to support them.
You're already trying to find arguments. But of course, it's, as I said a little bit with this Japanese tourists and stuff too, there is kind of consequences of everything. If now everyone would start baking the cakes at home or start only having coffee at home, then everything that makes Prague Prague or parts of what makes Prague Prague is also going to disappear, and that we don't want.
Very true. And yeah, what do you think it will change again in our life after things will open up?
Not sure. I don't actually think that much.
No?
I think, no.
So you think that we will just like jump into it like before?
Yeah, I think basically everyone will actually quite fast get back into the normal life when we can. But me personally, I hope that we will be able to kind of keep some of the things we learned from this time.
Do you think that it will be easy to forget? Or do you think that it's going to be like always imprinted in our mind? Like, hey, like this has happened and 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. You remember how we always forget bad things very fast.
I think you can see how fast we adjusted to this situation. I will think we will the same fast adjust to normal life again.
And when it comes to our business, for example, because when I was asking people on my Instagram, there was a lot of questions about business that what do you think that it will kind of influence the way how we do business and the way how business is done in influencer marketing? That's two huge questions. So now I did the biggest mistake in journalism ever. So you can split it however you want.
Which one do you want first?
I already forgot what was the first one.
What will change in business in general? That's, of course, hard to say. There's business is so wide, kind of. But in our case and with influencer marketing, I think influencers are actually in certain way just going to become stronger, because during this situation there's also been a lot of influencers who've been sharing with things from their home. They've gotten stronger connection with their followers over this situation, and also the companies and clients kind of when they have to now get back in business, I think influencers are a great way to kind of reach people in a trustworthy and fast way.
How do you think it's done to build closer relationship with people in the crisis time?
I think one important factor is that everyone is in the same situation. Everyone is kind of home at the same time. Everyone is locked in at home. Everyone has to find something to do. Also the influencers, also the followers. Like, it's so easy to relate when everyone kind of is pushed into the same life situation, kind of.
And do you have your kind of personal favorite one that you got hooked up on? Like somebody that you've been following and like saying, wow, this person is doing a great job. I love to follow him or her, or except me, of course.
Okay, I'm going to ask if you're trying to get me to say you, but
no.
It's been great following you in this situation.
At home, yeah. Like to the bathroom and kitchen. And
I got the live sending.
Yeah, you have it the whole life though, so nothing changed there.
Other than that, no, I wouldn't say so. Not anything special. For me personally, I've been listening to more to podcasts, I think. It's also been interesting to see how they have been doing it with kind of recording from home and do things differently.
And how they have been doing it?
In Norway? I would say it's been a little bit different. Some podcasts have been doing kind of as we are doing now, to go to the studio, keep safe distance and everything and record from there. And some people have been doing it over phone calls and some distant recording.
And what, did they do something funny, or was it just talking about what they are doing, or?
One of my favorite ones, they have had, instead of podcast every Wednesday giving out, they had live sending every Wednesday in the studio. So they kind of got questions and they made it a little bit longer to kind of entertain people who are home. And normally on a Wednesday at 12 o'clock, people are at work or, but now they made this live sending that people could follow.
So all the people on home offices
took a break.
They were listening. They took a break for how long? 2 hours?
1.5 maybe.
Okay. They could have a lunch with them. That's of course allowed. That's of course, you can do that. But yeah, but I feel that Norwegians are very always some steps ahead of everyone else, or maybe not just Norwegians, but they are very creative, I would say. So I was expecting that there would be something more cool, not just live sending. That's a little bit boring. Sorry to all Norwegians who are doing live sendings now.
All of them are listening.
I think so. Yeah, nothing kind of like more exciting, or nothing that you were feeling like, wow, this is something that's amazing. That's so much fun.
No.
Okay.
Sorry, I guess you wanted me to say something here, but
yeah, a little bit. Okay.
I can't think of anything right now that I feel was something exceptional. But as I said, like, I think the point here is that everyone have been squeezed into the same situation and it's more relatable. So maybe it's a good thing that it's not been super creative or something very different. It's more that everyone has been on the same place, same level, same situation.
I saw a French photographer that I've been on Mauritius trip, and what he started to do, he is this photographer influencer who is traveling around the world and taking all these famous pictures of Eiffel Tower or Chinese Great Wall, or like all around the world, it's like amazing pictures. And what he did that was quite cool, I have to show you, he was taking pictures of a picture and, for example, was pouring a water on the table. So he got this water reflection and then suddenly was like throwing some leaves on it or some flowers. And when he kind of showed the picture, the ready picture, you could not see that it was not taken in the spot. He seriously made it the way. And then the next one, like you could swipe up in the gallery on his Instagram feed and you could see the way how he took the pictures. And that for me was something really fun to watch because I was so much looking forward to be like, okay, what is he going to do next? And where is he going to take us? So I guess that there is many ways how people can kind of figure it out, like, hey, it's a unique opportunity to kind of come up with something. And I think that more than ever, you have the chance to kind of get the attention from people. Because at the same time, when people have a lot of time, there's a lot of influencers trying to get the attention. So it's kind of like not an easier situation for influencers to amuse people or to be there because there's so many other people kind of 24/7 working on the content. So I think that it's only the ones who really go fully for it and who really figure out something fun.
Mm, I agree. But I also think that that's kind of the general rule in influencer world in total now. It's kind of changed so much over the years. It became so much bigger that it's not enough to kind of, I don't know, just post something anymore. You kind of, you have to be good in some way. It can be a creative way. It can be to be able to share personal things. It can be to be creative. It can be to kind of many different ways, but it's not enough to just don't care anymore. Mm. If you don't care, it kind of shines through that you are not trying or that you are not caring about your followers and you are not going to get the attention, which you maybe did before because there was much fewer people.
Yeah, of course. But on the other hand, there is so many more users who is kind of following people. So I feel that it is, I don't want to say that it's easy, but I feel that it's quite maybe easy to get the attention because there is so many users and followers. And like maybe it's not easy to be on the top, to be in top 10 in Czech Republic or in top 10 in Norway or anywhere else. But yeah, do you understand the balance? Because there's so many more people than, for example, 10 years ago. There was only a few people. I remember when I won this Bloggerka Roku for the first time, I had like 1,200 followers or something. And I feel like, how is that possible? How? It's crazy. And I felt that it's an insane amount of people.
There was a lot of followers at that time, for sure.
Mm. So it's also changing very fast.
Mm. There is like the what is counted as a kind of good amount of followers. It's also, of course, changing all the time. The time when you talked about if you had 20,000 followers, that was insane. That was kind of the max you could have almost. But the kind of things are changing. But as you say, there is more followers or more kind of users. But I lost my thought, but I lost it.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Forever.
There is no limit how many followers a profile could have. So it doesn't mean that there is more user. That means that everyone get more followers. Question is if they kind of go to the biggest profiles or they spread around. But kind of everyone can get followers. It's not kind of used up. But it's, I think it's harder to break through and to be seen now than it was before.
Mm. And what do you feel that it's the magic key for it? Like you've been in influencer marketing forever now, I feel. Like we talk about it all the time. We see the differences between the world and Czech Republic. We always kind of dig into it and try to see the insights. And we work with influencers on an everyday basis. So what would you say that's the thing that works?
I would say that the main thing is to kind of be able to give the followers something different. And if it's like, it can be a perfect life that some people kind of are focusing on, like traveling on luxurious holidays and kind of just have this perfect life that everyone else want to have. That's one way. The way I like more personally is kind of to be real, to be open and kind of share your life with your followers. Of course, there's a difference between private and personal, but kind of to a certain limit, kind of share as much as possible of your life, your feelings that they can relate to. If you just share your everyday life, but you also don't give any part of you and how who you are, I think it's almost impossible.
Do you feel that this is also going to change? Because I remember when I speak on different conferences about, I don't know, the future or how we see influencer marketing or how who is very influential, what is the engagement, who has it kind of, who got the key. I feel that like for last maybe 2 years, I've been talking about it, about this fact that you have to be real, you have to show your story. But people are also going to be fed up with that one. That, you know, that 2 years ago, it was this perfect profiles, like this very nice feed that was matching with colors and there was this eye catching and so on and so on. But I feel that I'm also starting to be a little bit fed up with this real life full of emotions. And I also feel, and what bothers me is that I feel that some people kind of stretch it too much, that they like dig on the negativity and what is bad happening because they figure out, aha, this is what's working. Like, I feel that there has to be something farther again. And what is it?
People are kind of engaged to the negativity, and people then use it to get more engagement. And of course, that's a bad thing. But I think it's kind of, as you said before, you follow the profile, you follow the perfect picture, you follow the color-coded profile, you kind of this way. But now I think the future is that you more follow the person. It doesn't have to be negative or positive, but it comes like this cross-level profiles like podcasts and Instagram, and kind of it's not one place only. It's so easy to move around now to follow different things that I think people more are going to follow the person, not the profile, if that makes sense.
But I've always been following the person. It's never been about the profile, but I mean more like, is it going to be that people will get back to this crazy life, or people will need to see something very, I would say, artistic, or that they will have more demands on kind of being amused, for example, or maybe more demands on being educated? Or you see, that's where I'm going.
No, I understand what you mean, but I a little bit disagree with you that you were always following the person. I think very often you said to friends like, hey, have you seen this profile? Have you seen that so nice pictures, that so perfect pictures? But now it's going to be more like, have you heard about this person? And I think that's going to grow stronger and stronger, that it's not about kind of that person can also have, for example, Instagram that had a lot of followers, but not many listeners on a podcast or followers on another profile because there wasn't the same pictures or same type of content. But I think it's going to be more this floating around type of profiles.
And where do you base it on? It's just what you see, or it's something that you think?
Intuition.
Oh, listen, that's where we are here. I always talk about your intuition, so now you gave the key to everyone. So what is it actually? What should I do then?
It's hard because you have to be yourself, and you cannot fake anything because it's going to shine through right away. I think that's the biggest mistake that many do, is that they try to create a person that is not them because they think people will like that person, that profile, that content. But I think even without kind of knowing it, people see through it and feel that it's not true, and they don't get the same engagement to it. So I think you have to be yourself. That's why it's a little bit hard to kind of make it if you don't have something with yourself that are intriguing, interesting. Because you cannot just make yourself interesting.
Yeah, but I also think that it doesn't last that long, because you cannot push it. It's fake, and it's like you are constantly pushing yourself to do it, to play this role, and that's not sustainable for a long time. It can be for 1 year, 2 years, maybe three, I'm not sure. It depends how much you want to do it. But I guess that, yeah, at a certain level, you have to be balanced with the fact that it is you, it makes you happy, it has to satisfy you, what you are posting. But yeah, I kind of understand, but I think it's maybe a little bit complicated for our listeners to imagine what actually we mean. Could you give some specific example? Who do you think have it?
You are trying to get me to say you again?
No. Oh, no. Not at all. Shmara, now it sounds really stupid. Not at all.
No, but I don't have an example in that way, but I can say kind of that, as you said, there are so many users, so many possible followers, that you have to just be yourself and post what you would like to see, what you would like to hear, what you would like to read. If you post that, you are going to find people. It maybe takes time. It's maybe not hundreds of thousands of people, but you are going to find your audience that you can connect with and build from there. But if you kind of create something different than what you would like to post, what you enjoy, then you kind of, you will reach the wrong audience for you. And as you said, you will get tired of it, or you will not be able to connect on a stronger level and grow from there. So it's so important that you kind of start on the right basis. Still too complicated?
No, I guess it's fine. What do you think it will be in 5 years? Because influencer marketing is changing extremely fast, and like even 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, nobody would think that where we are now and stuff. What do you think where we are going to be in 5 years, which is very long time from now?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I don't think I can say anything else, because as you said, things are changing so fast that it's very, very hard to see where is it in 5 years. And also this whole corona situation have also learned me that we never know what will happen in short time even forward.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about all these people who are predicting that influencers are not going to be lasting because people will get tired of it, and influencers are not going to have that much power as they have now. And it's also shining through that now when coronavirus came, many of the travel influencers lost their job, and you know, there was all this jokes that they're going to this Úřad práce and this so on and so on, all this like funny pictures. But do you think that there is not going to be any influencers in 5 years? Or
I think there always is going to be influencers. I kind of read once that Jesus was the first influencer. There has always been influencers. The question is just, where are they? Where do you find them? Like when I grew up, it was football players I was looking at. That was influencers for me. And they were influencing, but they didn't have that much power because they didn't have any platform to share it. But nowadays, also the football players are also influencers. So the thing is just that people have to adjust. People have to kind of follow the trends. And there will be influencers. I'm not saying that they are going to be the ones posting on Instagram or the ones on TikTok or YouTube. That, I don't know. But influencers are going to be there. The question is just, who are they?
Mm. And how do you feel that it changed with the coronavirus, how company looks at influencers?
I think it didn't change that much. Of course, many clients and companies kind of had to close down their marketing or slow it down a little bit. And I think very fast influencers are the ones going out first. But I also think they will be the first ones coming back, because as we talked about before, it's a cheap and easy way to kind of reach a lot of people. And you have a lot of power in it.
And some specific types of, what do you think that the campaigns will be exactly the same way as they were before? Or do you think that the clients will be more careful, or just don't care? Or
I think clients are going to demand more results, that it's going to be more result-based, and the goals of the campaigns is going to be sales or more specific goals than it's been now. Now it's kind of been more floating what is kind of the purpose of the campaigns. They hope to get some more brand awareness or sales, or but it's much more floating around. So I think the biggest change is that people are going to expect more results. But me personally feel quite comfortable with it, because we as an agency, we can see kind of the power the influencers have. So that the companies would actually start looking more into the results of the campaigns is a good thing for us.
Yeah, I would actually say the same, because sometimes, or what is my biggest frustration is when I see some marketing campaign with influencers, and then I see that they're using influencer who is on the first kind of site when you check the Instagram, is maybe having fake followers and not having the right engagement. And that is ruining our business big time. And it's impossible to control it, because, you know, you never know how kind of they set it up or what is their expectations. And the only bad thing coming out of those badly set up collaborations is that the client will say, aha, we tried it, it didn't work. Mm. And that is very bad. That is hurting us.
Yeah. It's a saying, actually, your dad have said it many times, and it's expensive to try to save money in this situation. There is many clients who maybe think like, no, I will not use an agency, or it doesn't have to be an agency. I'm not trying to speak up us, but to use someone who actually understand the business, who is able to see a profile, see what people are fitting. They know maybe they don't understand it fully themselves, but they try on their own and they end up with influencers who maybe don't fit the brand, or who actually aren't the worst, of course, to have not even a real profile or fake followers, and they are not going to get the results they want. And so they actually lost a lot of money by trying to save money.
Yeah, it's very tricky, I would say, but I feel quite comfortable. It's maybe sound very bad, but I also feel that in the last few years, there has been like popping up many different agencies for influencer marketing. And we had many meetings with different people who called themselves specialists. And then it was shining through that, wow, okay, there is something going on. It's just, I felt that it was like a wave that people were kind of on it because it was cool. It was something that everyone had to have in their marketing, you know, communication. And I felt that it was actually hurting our business when, you know, people just go and do campaigns but don't really go deep into it and don't really take it on a professional level.
Of course. And I said earlier that it's going to be more this sales oriented, and I think that it's going to kind of a little bit take away these influencers who doesn't have the power, who kind of maybe have fake followers and stuff, because clients will start seeing they don't have the results. And the same will happen with agencies, because if they don't care who they put their check, if they are real profiles or not, then also the companies are not going to get the results, even though if they go through agencies, and the agencies will also lose their clients. So I think it will make the market more professional, which again, it's a great thing. It's what we want. So that's what I hope will happen.
Mm. If I'm looking now on the questions that I got asked by my followers on Instagram and Insta stories, there was a few of them that I haven't answered because I didn't have time. I was speaking already for 2 hours answering all the questions. But most of them were from business. So I was thinking it would be nice to kind of ask you some of those questions. And the first one is like, what is our vision to move with LE Bloggers forward? Where do we want to be?
Oh, that's a big question now.
Good luck.
Like, are
that's
we talking,
why I didn't ask.
Are we talking short term or long term?
Vision. You can just put it in your own limits.
Where I want to go, I want us to be the best. Definitely. And I want us to kind of grow, and I want us to be able to adjust to the market. As you are saying, you don't know what is in 5 years. That means if we should be here in 5 years, we also need to adjust when things are changing. And so far, I think we've been doing it quite well, but I think it's important to kind of keep the focus and be able to do that.
Mm. And some specific goals?
No.
You don't want to say, or you don't? I guess maybe both.
A little bit both, yeah.
Okay. And what did we figure out that we can kind of save in the company during the coronavirus? Did we cut any expenses? Did we figure out, we can live without this and that?
Yes, definitely. And we will kind of do some changes after, which this was great way kind of to wake up and realize a little bit that we have to be more careful. We have to have more control of things. And we have amazing employees who actually kind of accepted to go down in payment a little bit during this crisis. That kind of helps us a lot. And I think as I said earlier about private too, like we have to get a healthy economy. We have to start building buffers. And this also works in the company, in the business.
Mm. Yeah, what I feel that we were in such a comfortable situation, maybe similar like in our life situation, that we kind of didn't have to think about it that deep, that we were like, yeah, but whatever. Like, for example, to be concrete, we were paying a lot of emails that didn't even exist. And it's maybe stupid to say it's like few dollars per month, or I don't, not sure if I'm like specific, but we just figure out how, but all these small things can kind of put together quite a big sum that we can save and maybe invest it into something different. But I felt that because we were comfortable, we kind of didn't have to do anything, that we were a little bit throwing money out of window in certain way.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like your second coffee, I would say. That
okay.
We kind of, we had all these things that we didn't have to have. It wasn't necessary. We didn't need it. And these things were, of course, very fast and very easy to cut out when this situation came.
So do you think that we are going to be, like, now we can already see that we will go through the crisis, if I can say that, hopefully we will. Mm. There were moments where we didn't see that coming, very many. I'm not sure about you, but I had many of them. So do you feel that we will be more healthy company?
I think so. Actually, quite big difference, I think. I think we will kind of focus much more on these things, not just enjoy the process, but actually more also take control of the process and how things will move forward and how, where we are in this economic situation, everything. I think it was a great wake-up call.
Hmm. It was very painful, though, but sometimes those things are needed.
Hmm.
It's like this like slam you get, or, you know, maybe that's a stupid to kind of compare it, but isn't there something when you kind of like get the heart attack and it's this wake up call? Of course, you have to survive that one, but then you have the wake up call like, hey, you have to change your habits, otherwise it's going to kill you. So it's very painful. It's extremely uncomfortable, but in certain way, it has to be that drastic. Otherwise, you don't change your habits. So maybe for companies who will survive it, and I don't want to kind of talk about the companies who are not going to survive it, because there's many of them who will not. And it's extremely sad and extremely hard. And I don't think it's fair at all. But the ones that will survive, I guess that, or I feel also from our point of view, that it's going to make you much stronger and much more careful. And maybe even the fact that it will give us more energy to run faster forward the right way, not to go around a little bit here and there, just slowly, because everything is going good. So why should we care? Why should we stress? Why should we think about those things?
Hmm. I think that before this, we were kind of, so you said we were fine, we did well, we were in a comfortable position. So I think our kind of eyes went in too many directions. We were thinking about too many different options, too many things we could do. We tried a little bit everything. I think this situation is going to make us much more focused on kind of our direction, to set up like a track where we want to go and go that way, which of course will make us move forward faster.
Hmm. Okay. What... Somebody is asking, what is our problem with the crisis? Is it that we are afraid that the clients wouldn't have money in the future, or how did it hit us, like, to be concrete?
I would say the kind of most visible way, but not the worst way, is that the clients are or was canceling and postponing campaigns. Like, some clients kind of came to us and said they had to cancel things. Some people came and said we have to delay it till this is over. That kind of is the most visible. And then the hidden one is actually all the clients who didn't come back to us again, who normally situation would come to us and order campaigns. These we cannot measure. We cannot kind of say who it is or what it is because they just didn't come. But we can see kind of statistically that there would be more clients coming and ordering campaigns or asking about campaigns or wanting meetings. And the one that actually hit us the hardest was that kind of overnight when this situation started, I think like 12th of March or something, like suddenly overnight, nobody paid their invoices. Or I wouldn't say nobody, that's unfair because some people did, but so many clients kind of stopped paying their invoices for campaigns that were already done. And the problem is there is, of course, we have influencers, we have other expenses who expect to be paid. And when clients don't pay, of course, it puts us in an impossible situation. Luckily, most people we contacted, we talked with, people have been very understanding, and now it seemed like it's also normalizing a little bit in this situation and more invoices are getting paid and we kind of are starting to catch up on all the expenses we were behind on.
Hmm. And would you say that it is going to be getting back to the same level?
From clients? I think so, yeah.
Or even better, or even more people. Because when I'm thinking, like, now things were stopped, things were slowed down, things were kind of postponed and so on and so on. And now people feel, okay, there is going to be that kind of need to start. People will need to start sell, and people will need to start to do it very fast. And when I'm thinking about commercial and all this kind of productions, when you do billboards, when you do commercial for TV, when you do placards, you know, all this kind of commercial in offline, for example, it takes so long time and it needs so many people and so on. Don't you feel that the clients will be then putting it into influencers or even trying it? Don't you feel that there's going to be more hope for it? Hey, let's try it and let's see if it works.
Yes, I think this autumn and now end of summer and autumn is going to be quite wild, I think. I think there is going to be kind of the normal things and there is going to be a lot of extra things. Both clients who kind of didn't have anything now in the corona times, but also kind of people, as you are saying, who figure out that they also need to do something with their business. They need to try something new. And if they maybe never tried influencer marketing, they will jump on it now because everyone gets this wake-up call. They need to find new ways. They cannot just be stuck where they are. And yes, I think quite many will actually go to influencer marketing because it is fast and you don't need to go through a lot of people. And you can kind of, the budgets can be quite adjustable after what you actually have of possibilities. But I think after that, it's going to go back to normal again. But it's important to say then that normal for influencer marketing is growing. It's not on a flat line. It is growing all the time. So I think next spring is going to be bigger than this spring, but not in a big, unusual way, that I don't think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that it's hard to predict anything, of course, but my personal intuition is saying that I think that people will try to do it different way. They will kind of give it a chance. But I expect there's going to be a lot of new clients who will give us this trying campaigns. That's like, yeah, let's see, let's try it, let's compare it, because I'm not sure how things are going to go in marketing, like, overall. But I feel that now we already seen many companies who were focused on offline, but that didn't work. There was nobody outside. Nobody saw their, or not nobody, but very few people compared to the normal amount saw their, like, billboards and so on. So we could already now see that people were kind of drifting towards online, and we had to develop a lot of, you know, strategies, how to explain it to them, how to kind of show it and stuff. I feel that there's going to be many more people kind of trying it, but in a very small amount, just this, let's try it, let's see, let's compare it. And that's going to be a lot of work for us. The small work, and maybe there's going to be very little percentage of people who will actually then come back with a huge budget and try it again. But I guess it's worth it. But that's what I'm expecting. And that's what we have been already seeing now with many, many new clients.
I would say, for example, for us and for the employees, is that kind of the work kind of a little bit changed in the way that normally we just had our clients, but now through this situation, we also have kind of had so many this new clients, but not where you just make a campaign, but where you actually have to, all the way from scratch, have to kind of explain how it works, try to come up with different suggestions, a lot more these phone meetings to explain things. And I think it's quite interesting. And again, I think it's healthy for us to go a little bit back to the roots where we started.
Yeah, I felt like 5 years ago, this last 3, 4, 5 weeks, that I've been on call many times per day trying to explain the fundamental of influencer marketing, to explain on these basic examples. And I was like, wow, okay, I can still do that. It developed very much, but I felt a little bit like when we started. And how do you feel, somebody is asking, how do you feel it will change the point of view of employees, of people kind of, yeah, of employees? You know who employees are.
I know, yeah. I think it's going to be now for a while at least harder to kind of find new jobs and these things, which I think will make people more grateful for what they have. I think, as we said also for the company wise, that it's been a little bit, we've been fine, it's been too good, it's been too easy, if you say it that way. I think it's a little bit the same with the employees in the situation that people more realized what things are good and be grateful for it instead of kind of just looking for negative things, just always think about where can I go, what else can I do, because that's not going to be so easy anymore. So it's going to be more about how can I develop here, how can I develop this place, which of course for us it's a great thing, and I also think it's very healthy for the society and for the people.
Mm. Do you feel also the payments will go down, like overall the standard level in Prague, for example? Or I know you don't kind of can't say, but what do you expect?
I don't think it will go down, but I don't think it will grow as rapidly as it has been doing.
Last question of them all, and that there's many more, but I just picked this one because I'm very interested what you are going to answer. And not sure if it's too like business oriented or maybe a little bit more personal too, but it's this typical what is the word now? Your interview question. It's a typical interview question.
You forgot
question.
The word interview.
Yeah, I forgot the word interview. We've been talking too long. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Huh?
Me or the company?
Whatever you feel like. I am interested in you and the company, of course, but both you can split it into.
That's, again, a hard one because we have so many possibilities, like everyone have in these days, like so many options, so many things can happen. If you would say the opposite way, where did I expect myself 10 years ago? I would never think I would sit here in Prague in this studio recording a podcast with you. So it's impossible to kind of say it the right way. But of course, I think we are happy. We are together. William is happy. Maybe we have more kids.
Maybe
they're
four.
In school. No, not four. two is fine.
Maybe four.
Maybe two.
Maybe three.
Oh, this is good tactic.
See, that's what I did. So five.
I almost said okay, but
five, and then I will go down to four.
Yeah, we will see. But personally, I just hope we are fine. We are happy, healthy. I hope the world is fine. That there is not some that this becomes abnormal with the viruses and everything. Business wise. Impossible to say. I hope we still have the company. I hope it's been growing. I hope influencer marketing is still working. Maybe we will have developed into doing something else, something bigger, something smaller. It doesn't necessarily have to be bigger, but maybe we have just changed direction. It's hard to say.
Hmm.
On the other side, 5 years ago, we started this company and it's gone so fast.
That's very true. We have actually an anniversary in few months.
Mm.
Oh, we should go and plan some big party with 10 people. Is it the rules now, isn't it? 10 people or something like that. I remember.
I don't know anymore.
Somebody was, yeah, that's true. Somebody was telling me that now when they were, you can have the wedding, but there is this 10 people. Then when you count this bride and groom and then both parents, and then you have the priest or the person who is doing this and that, and then you have the witnesses, then there's no room for a photographer, I should say better. It's a little bit sad, so we would not have in our party a room for a photographer. That was stupid.
Yeah, we could just have 9 guests and a photographer.
Yeah, that's true, but then you don't
it's
have
not
this
a wedding.
Yeah, that's true. That
actually we could change the priest the with priest the photographer with,
yeah, maybe. that's true. Okay, but that was the last question of what I have chosen. We've been going can you guess how long we've been going now?
I think 45.
It's always this 15 minutes extra. Everyone who I let guess is always saying 15 minutes down from the real time. So we are right over 1 hour.
Okay.
But it's been great to have you here, Jonne.
Thank you for coming.
All your inputs and all your points of view, and that you don't talk bad about me now when you can. But I'm just kidding. Thank you so much for you listening. I hope you liked it. We are always very happy when you write some feedback or when you write if you like it, what was interesting for you, and especially when Jon Erik is in the episode, because he keeps asking me like crazy, like, did anyone write? Did they like
it? What
did
they say?
Exactly. So feel free to write us, and you don't always have to be very positive, or that's a very bad way to say it, but yeah, feel free to write us any feedback you want.
But they can be negative, but you just don't Don't tell me.
Okay. Yeah. If you're negative, I'm never going to tell Yone. But you can write it to me. I'm fine. I've been in this for a long time now, so I can handle. Is there anything last what you want to say to people? You have last chance. Then you have in 20 episodes. You are back here again. That means sometime in September, maybe.
I think that you have something last to thank them for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot. Yeah, of course. I'm very thankful for all the people who are listening to the podcast because this week I crossed 1 million listens on my podcast. And that's been an amazing feeling. And I remember when I started, then we were walking in Alza. We were picking up all the laptops for our employees. And we saw some this music studio or something like that, or this big Apple MacBook, whatever it was. And I think I said something like, hey, this I should have for my podcast. And that time I was maybe recording half a year or maybe a few episodes. I don't remember exactly. And you said that you will make me podcast studio when I have 1 million downloads.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Then you would get this big iMac at home and you could record there. But now it's not necessary because you have a studio here.
Yeah, that's true. It went like halfway, but yeah. And on the other hand, we really don't have finances now to buy a big iMac.
No, that's not possible now. That's for sure.
But no, thank you so much for listening. It's been amazing. And I would never, ever thought that I would make 1 million downloads. It's even crazy to think about. And I'm very much looking forward to kind of go on and that to be sitting here and recording for you. It's really a lot of fun and I really like it and I hope you like it too. And we will have many more episodes together, maybe some of them with Yone too, if you send some good feedback. Okay, thank you so much and have a great day.
Nasklarano.